Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing choosing between name brands and generics.
This episode is going to be dedicated to what I feel is like a classically frugal question. You know, should I go with a generic version or should I go with something that's more name brand? So that's what we're going to be tackling this episode. We're going to cover some of the different categories of products where we feel going generic makes a lot of sense. And we're going to talk about when it makes sense to go with the name brand and how to just really think about it well. Looking forward to talking with you about this, buddy.
Yeah, man. I think some personal finance people who nerd out might be like, store brand, always, all the time. And, you know, I think you and I were partial to store brands. We're partial to generics in a lot of instances, but not in every case. And so, yeah, we'll kind of give those parameters on how to think about which one you choose. Matt, before we get to that, I wanted to give a quick shout out to my 7-year-old. It's her birthday today.
She listens to the show, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So she just turned 7. But yeah, I had a question for you because one of the gifts that I gave her today, I actually purchased at least 1.5 years, maybe 2.5 years ago. And I just kind of had it sitting up in the top of the closet. So every year around Christmas time, Costco actually has a pretty decent selection of presents for kids. And I knew when I saw this gift, oh man, 7-year-old Selma is going to really love this, but 5-year-old Selma can't really play with this yet. And so I ended up buying it ahead of time and just kind of storing it, holding on to that. And I feel like I've been doing that more and more over the years. I even have something in our closet from this past Christmas that our 10-month-old just isn't ready to play with and might not be ready to play with for another year. So
yeah, you're probably wondering, when is it old enough for my son to start playing with a little BB gun at home?
The Red Ryder BB gun. Not cool until at least 11 or 12, I think. But what's your take? Do you ever buy presents in advance? Do you ever see such a good deal, but you're like, my kid is not ready for that yet, but I'm going to hang on to it for a while. But
this is one of the ways where you and I are so different. I feel like you're so good at thinking ahead like this, and it's a valuable trait, you know, to know that, okay, one of these days we'll get around to this. But I tend not to think that way. My sort of default is that I'm focusing on the risk involved with that, right? I'm thinking, what if they don't like it, you know, like, or this is something that they may never get into. In this case, it sounds like it was something that was maybe more of a slam dunk for you. And so you thought, okay, surely this is going to be something that's going to work out. But yeah, like where my mind goes is that, well, I don't know if this is going to be something that they would actually want.
2 years down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe their taste will change.
Yeah, taste might change. Something might go out of style, you know, if it's something that's more timely. But I guess the argument can be made that this could be something you can give to any kid, right? And so like even if your daughter doesn't like it, you could kind of put that on the shelf in the closet where maybe you have some other gifts or other books that you're planning to give other kids, you know, for their birthdays. We kind of have a shelf like that in our closet where we find a deal on something or we find something that we really like. We buy a bunch of those and set them aside. And that's just something that we give to a bunch of kids that year until we run out.
Yeah. I love kind of the idea of planning ahead with gifts for my kids' friends. In particular, when there's a sale on something and I'm like, I think people are going to love that, then I don't mind stocking up on a couple of copies of a book or a couple of board games or something like that. Because, you know, we love board games. And hopefully her friends do too. But
And it keeps you from running into Target, you know, last minute and dropping $30-$35 when you could have gotten a similar gift for $12 on sale.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm fighting
against.
I can
get behind that for sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah, if I see something in the future and it's like heavily discounted and I think my kids are going to like it when they're like 18, 19, you know, I don't know, maybe 12 years down the road is too far to think ahead. But yeah, happy birthday to my 7-year-old Selma. And I'm going to keep buying your presents years in advance, probably.
All right, man, let's go ahead and introduce our beer for this episode. This episode, we're drinking a Spotted Cow, and that's by New Glarus Brewing Company. They're out of Wisconsin. A big thanks to our buddy James for donating these to the show. I'm looking forward to enjoying this one with you, man, and sharing our thoughts at the end of the episode.
Yeah, James had some friends going up to Wisconsin, and he requested New Glarus, and then he shared some of the love with us. New Glarus makes great beers, man. Looking forward to having this one with you, my friend. All right, but let's get on to the subject at hand. We're talking about name brands and generics. How do you choose between them? And Matt, private labels or generics are roughly 16% of overall sales, in particular if we're talking about the grocery store. And we're going to talk about grocery store, but we're also going to talk about other decisions too, right? Name brands are still more popular with people. But still, that 16% number, it's still a big shift from years ago when store brands were even less popular, right? But private label goods, they're cheaper and often just as good as their name brand counterparts. That's one of the things that we definitely want to hammer home in this episode, is that especially today, store brand goods are not massively inferior. I think it's more of a psychological hurdle that we have to overcome. And some store brands have even developed like a cult following, and many people view them as superior to the name brands that cost more. Matt, of course, you know, I like Costco. And
of course.
And some of their Kirkland Signature products actually really hit the mark on this. There are certain things that Costco sells under their store label that are actually much better tasting or much better quality oftentimes than the name brand counterparts that they sell right next to it. And it turns out too that in a taste test from Consumer Reports, they did a study, store brands taste just as good as their name brand counterparts. So it's nice to have that kind of factual information backing us up too that Consumer Reports has provided.
Yeah, and then not to mention the boost that generic brands have also gotten, man, just from there being less supply. You know, like when it comes to toilet paper, folks were just wanting to get some toilet paper in their house so that they didn't have to use paper towels, right? Nobody wanted to use paper towels. So it didn't matter if you got the name brand or just any toilet paper in your bathroom.
That's a good point. Yeah, some of us have been forced to try the store brands, even maybe when we never did before, because that's all that's left on the shelf for certain items right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so you mentioned that test that Consumer Reports ran. It also showed that your average savings from buying generic brands at the grocery store is 25% over snagging the name brand equivalent. And since groceries are such a large part of most of our budgets every single month, like that's a big deal. But again, you know, it's not just groceries that we're talking about here. We'll certainly talk about the perks of buying generic or store brands in the grocery store, but we'll also talk about, you know, how you can think about name brands versus store brand alternatives in your everyday shopping, you know, like for clothes or for medicine as well. You know, should you get that North Face rain jacket or maybe an off-brand equivalent? You know, is it worth it to take a risk on some basic mascara? Or maybe you should just stick with that higher end stuff that you normally get.
Sounds like a dilemma you face before.
All the time. Yeah. And so, you know, by the end of this episode, hopefully our listeners will be able to easily answer these questions themselves based on some of the things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, Matt. And of course, we just already mentioned the obvious, that it's more affordable to buy store brand items, right? But it's also important to note that most store brand products have the exact same ingredients and are made incredibly similarly to their name brand counterparts. There are lists on the internet, Matt, that you can easily hunt down on Google of items that are actually not even just equivalently made or similarly made, but that are the exact same item as the store brand. So like, for example, Kirkland Signature, again, Costco, their batteries are apparently, from everything you can find on the internet, the exact same as Duracell batteries. There's no difference except for the exterior wrapper on them. And a lot of people don't know that sometimes name brand manufacturers are actually making the store brand items themselves. So oftentimes there just isn't really much of a difference in quality, but even still, it can be easy for us to spend too much money on name brands in the grocery store. And I think part of that, right, is due to in-store displays kind of drawing our eyes, drawing our attention. It makes it easier to grab something that costs more and looks familiar because we've seen it on TV also. Matt, I actually dug up some fascinating supermarket stats that provided some helpful information kind of on this. And they show that we tend to spend 40% of our money on whatever the store manager is promoting on the aisles end caps. That means we're susceptible to buying the most expensive products just because of where they're placed. And some of the name brands actually have paid lots of money to grocery stores throughout the years to be placed at eye level, to be placed at the best spot for consumers to reach their goods. Like, we don't even like to bend down to go to the lowest shelf in the grocery store to look for, you know, cheaper items or store brand equivalents.
Joel, that actually reminds me of, in King of Kong, you know, that documentary, we've talked about this before.
One of my favorite ones.
Billy Mitchell, the bad guy, he has hot sauce. And I remember there's this one scene when he's in the store and they're, you know, filming him and he's talking about, I guess, his hot sauce or talking about video games. And he's like, I remember him like pushing back the other hot sauces and pulling his forward so they like take up more shelf space. He's such a dirtbag, but
yeah, you're at a much greater advantage if everyone can see your stuff.
And so, yeah, it makes a huge deal. That shelf space makes all the difference. And you're talking about the studies. They also showed that the average visit to the grocery store, that it lasts about 13 minutes. And of that 13 minutes, we dedicate at most 30% of our time in the store to actually selecting things to buy. And the rest of the time turns into just this quote unquote ineffective wandering, you know? And so from the marketer standpoint, this is valuable time that they have to position their products in front of our eyes, you know, hoping that they end up in our carts. And we're going to end up spending more money on these name brand products. And this can suck when we're not even aware that we're even doing that.
Yeah, I think the worst possible way to go into the grocery store is to go in hungry. And then the second worst way to go into a grocery store is to go in bored.
Right.
Yeah, you're
just looking for stuff to buy.
In both ways, you're susceptible to buying a bunch of stuff that you don't need. But in particular, we're more susceptible to buying the name brand items that are specifically shoved in front of our faces. But so much of the time when you buy brand name items, you're paying for clever branding and advertisements. We all know that, but still sometimes we get hooked. That's not always the case, of course. Some name brand items make more sense for us, and they're worth the additional money, right? For example, maybe some name brand running shoes. You might not want the $10 shoes, the bargain basement price.
Yeah, I will not wear $10 bargain basement tennis shoes to go run a 10K in.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Buddy.
I wouldn't do it either if I like to run.
It's going to wreck my knees.
But of course, there are a lot of times where it does make sense, and you want to save more money by going with store brands and generics. And it's going to be a big help to your budget. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about kind of some principles for how you make the choice. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about specific items that we think it makes the most sense to buy generic or store brand equivalent. And we'll get to some of those right after the break.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break, and now let's go ahead and talk about some of the best items that we think folks should be buying generic. And I say we think because on pretty much any one of these categories, I feel that someone who's listening could say, no, you guys are being way too cheap. That's not something you should go generic on. And so I guess I want to preface with that because it all comes down to the things that we value. Obviously, there's certain things that you and I would like to spend good money on. We spend good money on quality local craft beer, not just local, but just nice craft beer from all across the country, all across the world. And that's not something that a lot of people would do. And so there are certain categories where you're going to want to spend more money on than we are. So that being said, let's go ahead and name a few, you know, categories, a few things where, you know, we feel that you should almost never be buying the name brand version.
All right, let's talk about beer real quick for a second, Matt.
While we're talking about alcohol, dive into it.
That is something that I think a lot of people would be happy to buy generic of, to buy just kind of store brand Aldi beer, Costco beer, whatever it is. Trader Joe's has their own beers that they sell.
Well, some of Trader Joe's beers are actually good.
They're okay.
Yeah, there's a couple that are made by specific brewers, but you got to kind of dive deep for those.
Yeah. And
but
I mean,
generally speaking, you're talking about just like the light lager sitting on the shelf.
But even sometimes they try to make like a porter or something, like a decent style of beer that I enjoy. And I just find that they're never as good as the beer that I typically get from better known breweries and local breweries that make just really, really good stuff. So that's something I'm not willing to compromise on. But I think some people would be happy and are typically happy with the generic beer equivalents. But what about spirits, Matt? I think that's actually, at least in my mind, maybe as someone who's not a connoisseur, that I'm more than willing to go generic on a whiskey or a vodka or something like that.
Yeah, it kind of depends on which spirit you're talking about, because when it comes to like scotch, like there's a type of scotch that I like to drink, but pretty much everything else though, I'm willing to cut some corners on for sure.
Yeah, well again, Costco for the win here, man. They've got some Kirkland Signature like vodka and tequila products that I've actually enjoyed throughout the years. But those just aren't things I drink very frequently, so I'm probably not the best person to judge on that.
Yeah, but I've read stories and like heard podcasts actually on how like the high end, like top shelf vodka, it's not any better than the cheap stuff. You know, when you're going for something tasting like nothing, well, like it's all the same.
And you're talking about a 50% discount typically.
Yeah, easily.
From the high end stuff.
Yeah, well, while we're on the topic of alcohol, we may as well talk about drugs as well.
The legal kind, though.
Yeah, yeah. Name brand over-the-counter drugs and medicine, man, they make no sense to me. You know, like when the active ingredient is exactly the same as the store brand, I think we should all be reaching for the generic. I think one of the ways that name brands kind of get you when it comes to purchasing their medicines over the generic, the store brand, is because a lot of times I think when you're sick, you don't really care about like saving 50 cents. You're just thinking, oh, like no matter what, I want to be better. You know, like I want the best thing that money can buy. But like you're not really taking the time to realize that like this is really the same stuff.
Yeah, that your money's not actually going further and making a difference in how quickly you're going to recover. Those medicines that you're buying have the same active ingredient. Yeah. They're almost the same. They might have like, at least for kids, like a slightly different flavor or a different packaging.
Yeah, yeah. You're paying for nicer, shinier packaging.
Yeah, pretty much.
A better designed label for sure, but that's it. And you know, it's also better to get generic prescription drugs too, if you know they will work for you as well. Like these will save you a ton of money. So make sure to check in with your doctor doctor, you know, when they're prescribing something, ask if there is a generic equivalent, or even once you get to the pharmacy, check with the pharmacist and see if there is an equivalent that could potentially save you a ton of money.
Yeah, sometimes I've showed up at the pharmacy and I've gotten the quote on how much it's going to cost. And my first question is there a generic equivalent?
Yeah.
Because the sticker shock can be so great. And typically there is. If there's not, obviously there are other workarounds, but I agree. For a lot of prescription drugs, there are generic equivalents that are just as good and that cost a fraction of the amount that you would otherwise pay. All right, Matt, let's talk about baby formula. That's one of those things that is a big money saver that you're feeling right now by buying generic instead of buying name brand, right?
Yeah, we're definitely spending a large portion of our monthly allotted budget towards grocery just on baby formula because that stuff is expensive.
Yeah, for sure. We're not doing formula right now, but I know that the last time we had to, we were able to get it from Costco, and I can see the equivalent name brand product sitting right next to it in the same size packaging, same serving size and everything, and it's twice as much money. And you're getting yours from Aldi. Similar story, really, where it's a whole lot less than the name brand. And really, it's not all that different of a product. The same ingredients are involved.
Yeah, the biggest thing when it comes to formula specifically is to look at, you know, what they compare it to. Because, you know, like Aldi, for instance, they've got three or four or five different kinds of formula. And on each one of them, they say, compare it to...
a different name brand.
Similac Pro Formula or whatever. I don't even know what it says. But that lets you know that, you know, if your baby does like a specific brand, because the formulas are different between some of the different makers, right? We're not saying that they're all the same. But when you're able to get apples to apples, you know, you got that name brand apple and you're comparing it to that generic apple, the formulas are almost identical. And so if that's something you're considering switching to the generic, look specifically for that name brand kind of written on there that you're supposed to compare it to. That'll get you far.
Yeah. And babies typically, once they've kind of gotten started on a specific kind of formula, they don't like to switch. They don't take to it super easily. So yeah, finding the most direct comparison that you can, it makes it more likely that they're actually going to make the switch well.
Yeah, yeah. We're not saying to go super cheap and just to switch your baby to the cheapest, most easily accessible stuff because, you know, yeah, it's really important to keep the baby happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Maintain some of that sanity.
Especially if it means they're going to sleep through the night or not.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So while we're talking about babies real quick, let's talk about diapers, Matt. Have you found any difference in name brand diapers versus store brand diapers or even just kind of more generic brands that aren't the ones that you see on TV?
Yeah, I mean, this is an area where I can say that the store brand was, in our opinion, way stinking better than the a couple of the different name brands that we were trying out. You know, a lot of times when you have a baby, people will give you a lot of different random stuff, including diapers. And so I remember specifically having some of the fancy diapers, you know, like Pampers or whatever the other brands are. And I specifically remember how, you know, they would leak, especially overnight. And so like you get up in the morning, get the baby up, and you kind of have to like change the onesie, change the sheet because everything's wet. It wasn't until after we ran out of all those diapers that we started trying out Target's Up and Up. Dude, those diapers were way better than the name brand. And so ever since then, we had stuck with Target's brand, which was the Up and Up. This is just an instance where I feel that going with the store brand was just way, way better.
Yeah, so we actually did cloth diapers with the first two kiddos, but I think we got really lazy with number three. And so we're doing regular diapers. And we tried one of the cheaper name brands for a while. And then we switched to a store brand, the Costco store brand, of course.
And we promise this is not just a sponsored episode for Costco, no. Even though it sounds like it is.
I'm just adding love. But yeah, so...
I need to give Aldi more love.
Yeah, I mean, Aldi rocks too.
Yeah.
But the diapers, the Kirkland Signature diapers were just so much more absorbent. They were way better. All right, man, let's talk about water. Yeah, you should probably just be drinking tap water, I think, and maybe filter tap water if you're into that. But it's so incredible to see the differentiation that's happened in the water category. Man, they're super fancy name brand water. There's kind of like run-of-the-mill name brand bottled water now. And it's just kind of all over the place. It's crazy to think how much more you could pay for certain brands of bottled water that really aren't that much different. And actually, when you read up on bottled water, so many different varieties of bottled water are actually just tap water put in a plastic bottle. And so, yeah, I would say try to remind yourself when you're buying water, when you actually do need to buy bottled water, which should be rare, that it's just marketing and Jedi mind tricks trying to get you to buy something that's more expensive that you don't actually need.
Yeah. So let's kind of get out of the grocery store a little bit. And a category where I feel there's such a huge disparity between, you know, going with something that's a little more generic and something that's name brand are glasses, man. This is something that I have to deal with every few years when I purchase some new glasses. But check out sites like Zenni Optical, which is my favorite, or even Goggles for You, in order to get your prescription glasses at a massive discount. over some of those different designer name brands. You should make sure that you're going into the optometrist, you know, to ensure that your prescription is correct and up to date. But then, you know, take that information and order your glasses online to save a ton. And also, I'll, you know, from personal experience, I'll promise that you'll see just as well too. I mean, I've been using Zenni for years now, and every few years I'll put a big order where I'll order like 3 or 4 different pairs just to try out some new ones, maybe to get an updated pair of sunglasses, because you can get prescription sunglasses as well and have them tinted.
Get a fresh look, you know?
Yeah, just get a fresh look for sure. My regret with my most recent sunglass purchase is I wish I would have gone with the mirror coating on the outside. I forgot what the upcharge was for that, but you know, the more I see people with the mirrored sunglasses, I'm like, dang it, I should have gone that route.
You just don't want people looking in your eyes. That's what it is.
I mean, you got sunglasses on, people can't really see you anyway, but I don't know. I feel like when you have sunglasses on that have the mirrored look and it's like kind of colored, it's got a nice gradient. It doesn't matter where you are, but you look like you should be at the beach, you know?
No, I understand. But yeah, I think you're right on the glasses front. And that's a place where you can save 80 or 90%, right?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Going with Zenni or Goggles For You or something like that, you're going to save a ton of money, dude. Walking into your local optometrist's office and picking out whatever's on the wall.
Yeah, well, specifically, like my first pair of glasses I ever got were a pair of Ray-Bans because, you know, I was just like, all right, I want some thick frame Ray-Bans. I want to kind of look like Ira Glass a little bit, make sure I look cool. I ended up spending so much money on that pair of frames, and they look cool. But I've got frames, man, that look just as good that I get for $20 for a pair of frames from Zenni. So I highly recommend them.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, Matt, let's talk about gasoline for a second. And that's not something that people normally think about, buying generic or buying a store brand. But it happens. And there are significant price disparities between different gas stations. And typically, the difference is kind of name brand versus off-brand or like a warehouse club or one of those gas stations that has like 20 pumps that does a lot of business. And some people are convinced that buying gas at the major stations is better for your car. And the advertisements kind of try to sell you on that as well. But it's just not true, right? Buying cheaper gas will not harm your car. And as long as you're getting the proper octane that is meant for your vehicle, then you're fine. Again, so much of it comes down to branding, saying that they have included special detergents in their gasoline, but there's just no discernible difference in any of that stuff. It's really just marketing mumbo jumbo.
And man, what about organics, organic foods? If eating organic is important to you, it's gotten a lot easier to eat organic, but on a budget. You know, you can definitely get store brand organics now on the reg. So it doesn't have to come down to, you know, whether you're going to fork out the money for the name brand individually wrapped single serve kiwi that you might like, pick up from Whole Foods. You can easily pick up some great organic foods from, you know, stores like Aldi, from Walmart. Man, last I checked, Walmart is actually the largest retailer of organic foods because of the number of stores that they have all across the country. And in my book, Walmart isn't considered name brand.
No, for sure. And yeah, just organics in general, the prices come down so much. And so much of that is due to store brands creating a line of organics and pricing them competitively. And so, yeah, we've seen Kroger, Aldi, Walmart get into the mix. And it means that buying organics has just gotten so much easier and it's gotten so much cheaper. And Matt, you and I, well, when it comes to shopping in the grocery store, we're not big in couponing. Some people really like that and they find that a good way to save money. But you and I, we kind of find that to be more of a hassle.
It's cumbersome. Yeah. It's not my style.
No, I'm not into it. But it's important to note that actually coupons have an effect that can sometimes make the name brand items a whole lot cheaper than the store brand items. So if you're into coupons and sale shopping, you can potentially save by sticking to name brands. So this is kind of counterintuitive, counter to what we've just been talking about. But if you do like to shop sales and use coupons, you might actually save more if you time things right by taking those tactics in order to buy name brands. Just felt like that was worth bringing up because some people are like, no, I want the name brand Oreos, not the fake ones. And you might do better if you hold out for the coupons to roll in the paper.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, though, sometimes those coupons will just bring the name brands down to the same cost as the store brands, right? And so in that case, you're spending a lot of time and effort just to save a little bit of money to get, you know, a product that might be better, but just at the same price. And so in my mind, the way I see it, you're just wasting a lot of time.
Yeah, well, those name brand Oreos are better, I think. Right, that's one place I think a lot of people would say, I'm drawing the line at the Oreos.
We never buy Oreos. So.
I don't either, but like I know that I've had both kinds.
Okay.
And I know that the name brand Oreos are better than the fake ones. Like there are just certain things that we've had experience with, and we know we have a line that we draw, and we're not going to go past that when it comes to buying the off-brand.
Fair enough. I just use that as a deterrent to keep me from buying the things that I shouldn't buy. Well, Joel, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But after that, we're going to talk about how to go about thinking through whether or not you should go with a name brand, how you should go about making that decision. So we'll get to that right after the break.
All right, we're back from the break, and let's talk about when it does make sense to go with the name brand. We just gave kind of a bunch of categories where we think the store brand or the generic makes a whole lot more sense. It's going to save you money, and it's going to be just as good as what you would have bought, except for the Oreos. But when does it make sense to go with the name brand? Well, if there is a type of product that you're looking for and there just isn't a generic equivalent, right? Sometimes with certain items, in particular, Matt, from what I hear from my wife, cosmetics, there just isn't a generic available that has the same formula. So these, of course, would be instances where the quality just isn't the same and the product is different enough that it makes sense to get the name brand and not try to hold out for a generic that just isn't nearly as good.
Yeah, certainly, man. If the quality of the generic isn't up to snuff, then that's something you want to avoid completely. Otherwise, you'll be branded as cheap for bringing home that cheap stuff, dude. Don't do it.
No, you'd rather be frugal.
And, you know, that kind of leads us to talking about like quality and guarantee of products. That's certainly a consideration as well, especially when you're looking at items that cost a bit more than your standard grocery store purchases, you know? Like I'm thinking of the fancy tool company Snap-on, where they have like a lifetime warranty on their tools. You know, I think they'll even come out with their truck full of tools to make replacements for you. But that's something where you're going to be paying more. You're paying a premium for their products, but you're also getting an amazing guarantee of just quality tools. I'm also thinking of a clothier, L.L. Bean. They used to have their lifetime warranty, but man, that's something that they discontinued a couple of years ago.
So good while it lasted, yeah, though.
Due to people abusing it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to accuse you, but...
No, it wasn't me. I don't wear L.L. Bean, but I love that they had that policy.
Yeah, but you know, there's other outdoor companies as well, like Osprey. They have guarantees on their backpacks for life. A good buddy of mine, I know he's worked with them before, to actually make a documentary about hiking the AT. But they were a sponsor, and he was really happy to have them on board because they had such an amazing guarantee on a lot of their equipment, specifically their backpacks.
Yeah, of course. I think especially when it comes to clothing or outdoor products, name brands can oftentimes have a huge leg up. I feel like in the grocery store, it's a different conversation. But there are lots of other areas of our lives where it does make sense to buy something that is more expensive, in particular to get something that's of higher quality. Matt, that just reminds me of something that you and all my other buddies made fun of me about. I bought an Atlanta United jersey on eBay that was not legitimate, I guess.
It was not legit.
Yeah.
The colors were even off. That was actually how you could tell, is because it was a brighter red. It was like a candy apple red versus like this rich dark red.
Yeah. No, it was pretty obvious. I think I got it for 18 or 20 bucks or something like that. And, you know, the real thing cost more like 60 bucks or
way more expensive.
80 bucks, whatever. And so, yeah, that Christmas I ended up asking for the real thing from my parents
luckily Santa brought it for you.
Exactly. But that's one of those things where it is worth it so many times. That was a wasted 20 bucks for me because I just never really wore that thing again. Not because I was ashamed or I didn't want people to make fun of me, but just because once I got it, I was like, oh yeah, this is not great quality.
This thing's cheap.
It sucks. And so, yeah, I think that is something that we do need to take into consideration and not just necessarily assume that something is higher quality, but maybe do a little bit of research. That's what is great about the internet. You can do research so easily and you can find out, well, okay, what is the difference? Does this item actually provide a better guarantee or higher quality? And if it does, then I think it does make more sense in many cases to spend more money and get the name brand.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it makes sense to go with the name brand because you are sticking with what you know. You know, if you currently maybe have more money than you have time, then sometimes it makes sense to stick with a product that you know that'll work for you. In this case, it's not even a generic versus a name brand thing, but like you're just paying for the ability to not have to make another decision and even potentially having a product that you're not happy with. An example I'm thinking of is Kate and I, this is several years ago, but we were going to repaint our dining room, and like quality paint is expensive, specifically Super Paint from Sherwin-Williams. It can be pretty pricey, even when you wait to one of the four times every year that they discount it to 30% off.
Sometimes the 40% off, man. Those are beautiful days.
But even still, like that's some really expensive paint if you get that higher end stuff.
True.
And so Kate and I, we talked about this for way too long. We spent way too much talking about whether we should stick with what we knew or if we should go with like some of the more affordable kind of contractor, lower grade paint. And in the end, we ended up going with the cheaper stuff, which ended up giving us crappier results. And so we had to go back and put multiple coats on it in order for it to stick well enough there in that dining room. So I guess in that case, that was an example where we knew that Super Paint was really good stuff. We knew that like it went on really thick. It stuck to whatever you painted. And for us, at least, that was an example where we should have just stuck with the tried and true.
Yeah. And in particular, in regards to paint, I always think about the time that it takes in order to do it.
Yes.
And if you have to repaint after 3 or 4 years, as opposed to it lasting 10 years, definitely worth it to get the name brand, right?
Yeah, or just the time that it takes to put that second coat on because that first coat didn't stick so well.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's talk about two name brands. Sometimes it makes sense to get the name brands if they have a specific value or mission that they are trying to accomplish, and you want to support that, right? Patagonia is always an easy example here because they've pledged 1% of their sales to the preservation and restoration of the natural environment, but there are all sorts of companies now that do similar things. Cotopaxi is another one that comes to mind. They sell really great outdoor gear stuff, and they've got a really cool mission too. And also, I just love the way they design stuff, but that's the case for a lot of companies now where they might sell you something and then donate a similar item to somebody in need. I think that's when it might be worth it to get the name brand. It might be worth it to pay more if you're supporting a mission. You're not just spending more for no reason.
And one other instance where we feel that it makes sense to be able to buy name brands is just when you love a specific product or you love a specific company. You know, like, you don't necessarily have to have a reason, right, why it makes sense for you to support this company. Sometimes you just go with a certain product because you love it, you know. In our case, it's like craft beer is always the example that we give, but it might be a completely random company that you just happen to like. I guess I want to just put that out there because you don't have to necessarily have a defense for buying a specific name brand, as long as you just don't allow that line of thinking to work its way into everything that you buy. You know, you can't say that like, well, I really like this and I really like this. It's like, well, you have to pick. And so make sure that you are spending your money where it counts.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think sometimes it can be as simple as, I want to support small businesses and I'm willing to spend more in order to do that. And I think that's a great reason. Like, it doesn't have to be one of the other reasons that we mentioned.
Or even like, you don't even have to choose a small business because it's a small business. You can just choose them because you like them. You know, like, it's like, well, I just like what they're doing. Like, they're cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think just being thoughtful about it and maybe running through some of these filters can be helpful too. So, all right, let's talk about some tips for deciding. I would say first, give it a shot as often as you can, right? Try the store brand equivalent or test something out, and specifically in situations where it's not going to make that much of a difference. For instance, like, Aldi has this double guarantee on most of their items. What do you have to lose by going with one of the Aldi products versus one of the name brands when you can take it back and get your money back? You know, it's just not that big
of a
deal.
And they'll replace it. Yeah, you don't not only have nothing to lose, you just have everything to gain.
Yeah, so I think there are so many instances where people can try out the store brand or the off brand or generic, whatever it is. And really, the biggest thing you have to gain is a bunch of savings over years to come. And the biggest thing you have to lose is that one time purchase of something that you ended up not liking and you're not going to buy anymore.
Yeah. So if you are trying to decide between generic versus a name brand, Joel, you know, you kind of mentioned this earlier, but look to reviews. Having lots of people kind of weigh in on your decision, like, that knowledge can help you to determine, you know, if that generic brand is lame, you know, before you click buy. This is where online reviews are great because, I mean, oftentimes there are hundreds and even thousands of people kind of weighing in and helping you to decide. But, you know, like, on the other end of the spectrum too, like, sometimes it can just come from a personal recommendation. If there's someone who, you know, you trust, or maybe they have a little more experience than you do in a certain area, then by all means, like, I feel that that can be an instance where you look to somebody else.
Yeah, Matt, randomly I was looking for a bottle of tequila at Costco, and I saw a lady with
Costco again.
Two bottles of it in her cart, and I was like, hey.
Oh, dang, two bottles. She's going big.
What's your take on that? And she had two bottles.
Oh, yeah, so obviously. You knew what her take was. She liked it.
She's like, I just tried it the other night for the first time. I'm into it. And she didn't steer me wrong. So, yeah, sometimes that individual review can be helpful, but oftentimes the aggregate larger amount of reviews on a website or something like that can really help us know whether it's smart to even give an off-brand or a generic a shot before we buy it and sink our hard-earned money into a purchase.
Totally, man. And, you know, we kind of just gave this example with Aldi, how they have that, you know, double guarantee. But when you know the return status of your purchase, that can give you a lot of confidence as well when it comes to looking to a more generic brand instead of a name brand. For example, REI, they have an incredible return policy. So checking out, you know, one of the REI branded items is going to be less of a gamble considering their 100% satisfaction guaranteed return policy. When the stakes are low like that, and you can kind of mitigate any of the risk that you might realize, it makes sense to try the generic where you could potentially save money every single time you were to buy that item in the future.
Yeah, Matt. I mean, we still, in our family, there are a few name brand items that we're fans of, and we stick to those. And I think it's okay, right? We found a few things that we like better than the store brand equivalent. But we try to be as flexible as possible, ultimately, and we try store brand or generic equivalents as frequently as we can to see if there's something better out there. And honestly, that's kind of our default at this point. Like, we typically go to the store brand because we assume that it's going to be just as good and cost less. And oftentimes we do find that we like the store brand even more than the name brand equivalent. But it's so helpful to do our best to stretch ourselves to try things that we might otherwise avoid for the sake of saving money on groceries or in other areas of our life, because these all have an impact on our budget and on those recurring monthly expenses. And we all know that the more that we spend on the recurring monthly expenses, the less we have to save, the less we have to invest for the future. And so, yeah, that's why I think store brands and generics are something that people should be considering more frequently, and especially as they've just gotten better and better over the years. I feel so much more confident today than I did like 5 or 10 years ago picking up store brand items, because the quality, I feel like, is just elevated across the board.
Yeah, man, that's right. And so let's now, instead of talking about generics and name brands, let's talk about our beer for this episode.
Our name brand beer.
Yeah, this is not a generic. This is a real company that made this beer. New Glarus Brewing Company. They made it. And this one is called Spotted Cow. This is out of Wisconsin. Joel, what were your thoughts on this beer, buddy?
Dude, Spotted Cow is an institution in Wisconsin. You see a whole lot of Miller Lite when you go to Wisconsin, but you also see a ton of Spotted Cow. And I feel like it's a light beer that is pretty clean, but it's also got like a little bit of that funky farmhouse going on, not over the top with it. It's a lovely beer that I feel like almost anybody can enjoy. It's not going to be abrasive like a lot of the IPAs that we tend to drink on the show, or a sour, but it's high quality at the same time. So yeah, I like this beer.
Yeah, I'm looking at the bottle here, and it says that it adheres to the Reinheitsgebot purity law. Is that how you say that?
Is that the German purity law that means you can only have four ingredients?
Yeast, hops, water, and malted barley.
There we go.
I would say, yes, those things are in this beer. Like, this is just a classic beer. It makes me think, like, on The Simpsons, like, they're always drinking Duff's. I feel like this is the equivalent to Duff's. And that's not like an insult. It's just to say that this is like a tried and true, timeless, classic beer. To me, if someone's like, hey, what does that taste like? I would just say, it tastes like beer. it tastes like a classic ale. I'm glad that you and I got to share this one. I don't think I've ever had this one before. And I'm thankful that James, that he, or his friends, at least brought some back for us to have on the show, man. So James, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. And for folks who want to see the show notes for this show, just go to our website, howtomoney.com.
And for listeners who have not left us a review yet, that would really help us to get the word out for folks who have not heard of our show before. The reviews really do help. And I'll issue a little challenge. If there's a beer recommendation you have for us, head over to Apple Podcasts. Let us know that you've enjoyed the show, and let us know what beer you enjoy. Maybe that could be a fun little way for us to discover some new breweries out there, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
It might break the Apple Podcast review algorithm too, which I'm totally fine with.
Like, why are people talking about beer here? This is personal finance. But little do they know that we mix both of them together.
Yeah, we do.
So, buddy, that's going to be it for this episode, Joel. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.